With Early Paycheck, you can get your direct deposit up to 2 days earlier. That's another reason banking with Capital One is the easiest decision ever. Even easier than deciding to open the biggest birthday gift first.
Happy birthday to you.
Which one are you going to open first?
The pony!
Yep, even easier than that. Plus, with no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts, is banking with Capital One even a decision? That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. No fees or minimums on new consumer accounts. Capital One and a member FDIC.
The devastation caused by Hurricane Ida was unprecedented. You can prevent additional damage by making a free call to 811 a few days before you dig or disturb the ground in any way. Calling 811 helps protect you from unintentional consequences caused by digging into underground utility lines. After calling 811, wait the required time, confirm all marks, and then dig with care. Call 811 before you dig. It's the law. This message is provided by Common Ground Alliance.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Justin Fields, the savior young quarterback, was sacked 9 times. Who is to blame?
The scheme, offensive coaching staff, the offensive line coach, the running back coach, the tight end coach, the head coach, the offensive coordinator, his friend, his buddy, the offensive analyst, who all them are to blame, the offensive side of the ball. I, right now, can come out of the studio and put a better game plan together for Justin Fields to have success against Cleveland Browns, and I haven't called a damn play ever other than telling the coach what to call. And Dan Orlovsky can be my offensive coordinator, and me and Dan, right now, can put a game plan together, and Justin Fields will have 300 yards and the offensive line to protect. He probably won't even have a damn sack.
GJ and Max, mornings on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
Jalen Smith released by the Cowboys. Rookie Micah Parsons just spoke, said, "This is my welcome to the NFL moment. He led every day. He critiqued me when I was wrong, supported me when I was right. He was just a great person beyond football. But he made too much money, and the Cowboys cut him. Stephon Gilmore made too much money. Patriots traded him this afternoon to the Carolina Panthers, adding to their secondary. And Justin Fields apparently now is the starting quarterback of your Chicago Bears." Yes, Matt Nagy, who on Monday said it's Andy Dalton, apparently got called upstairs because now, guess what? It's Justin Fields for the rest of the season. That's been basically your hump day around the NFL.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is?
It's hump day.
Hump day! I know you can hear me.
Let's get stupid.
Today's more than what, that camera Wednesday, hump day, is that what it is?
Day is Shock G in the digital underground and Coach Sean of the Patriots. Saints had to sign a new running back. Yazeem Agbo. Tony Jones Jr. out 3 to 4 weeks with an ankle injury. Let's see what kind of team the New Orleans Saints will be on Sunday. Gotta wait for the words of wisdom. 2.5 point favorites. Or 2 point favorites, sorry. 2 point favorites, the Saints. At Washington on Sunday. Pelicans taking on Orlando. We spoke with the voice of your New Orleans Pelicans, Todd Graffanini, earlier in the show. Kind of wants to see, you know, the team not beat themselves. He says that's the key. We've had a couple of other folks, like Cajun Goat, say, you know what, let's work on the backcourt. Let's see kind of what Jonas Valanciunas, who's going to play today, looks like. Haven't seen him in a Pelicans uniform. Brandon Ingram is not going to play. He went through shoot-around this morning, but apparently on Monday bumped knees with a Minnesota player, so out of an abundance of precaution, they're not playing him today. I'm fine with that. Need you October 20th when the season starts. And maybe if you go to the game, you can wave to Zion. Maybe he'll be sitting somewhere on there. We'll wait to see how close he is to come to the regular season again. Don't expect to see him in the preseason. But that game, 7 o'clock at the Smoothie King Center. You can watch it on Bally Sports, and you can listen to every single game all season long right here on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans. Some of the things that obviously we'll be interested to sort of see is how that backcourt gets going. Devontae Graham will be your first shot to kind of see as well how things are going. And a lot of these new young players. Here was Devontae yesterday after practice.
It was fun, you know, learning experience, trying to figure guys out. We all learning together, us, coaches, you know, get new pieces every year. So, you know, trying to figure out how to play together. And that's the biggest.
Brandon Ingram on a player that I think Pels fans are going to really come to love. Trey Murphy, the third. TM3 for short.
Pretty confident every single day. It never seems to waver. And it's good to see him out in preseason to continue to get reps up. We're definitely going to need him for spacing on the basketball floor and for him to knock those shots down.
Look, it was a 40-17 second quarter on Monday. His team battled back to within three. TM3 had a shot, as Todd says, at some point this season. He's going to call it Murphy's corner. He likes to shoot those corner threes. And it was blocked. But it could have tied the game if it would have gone in. So they did battle back. They did fight. So we'll look tonight. Watch it on TV. Listen online. Or, of course, you can go to the Pels app and press listen live. If you live 75 miles from the arena, that's your North Shore, and that's pretty much down there in the bayou as well. You can go to the Pelicans app, and right when you go to the homepage, you'll have two buttons. One says watch. You have to subscribe to that. One says listen. Tap it, and then tap listen here, and you can listen to the broadcast, okay? So you don't have to listen to the radio. You can listen to it through that app as well, as a lot of times when the game starts tipping off, I'm bathing the son and putting him down for bed. So I have my phone in the bathroom listening while I take care of my dad duties and listen to the game. So go ahead and do that. Of course, Sean Payton spoke this morning. He speaks on Wednesdays in the morning on the upcoming game. He had this to say about the Washington football team.
A couple things. If you look at their defense, you'd say it's a very good front. I mean, a group that can rush the passer. They're extremely athletic. You know, obviously a lot's been invested in that group with first round picks. So you got to be on point with your protection plan. I think they've got real good press, man to man type cover players. They had an injury last week at linebacker. Offensively, you know, 2 weeks in a row, you know, I'm watching the film and I'm seeing this number 41 make a play and, you know, ends up being really a game winner, but you look at the receiver strength with Terry McLaurin. I think it's a veteran group, obviously a young quarterback that we're somewhat familiar with here. It was, you know, he was at Carolina in Henneke, and a real good kickoff return, punt return team. I think they had one last week for a touchdown. So we're going to, you know, have to do our job there relative to the special teams. I think that you see energy when you watch them play. You see, I don't want to say a young group, but obviously Ron has been there 1 year and then at the start of this season. So as they're building the program, you can see that on tape.
Saints also getting a new kicker yesterday. Rosas, see ya. Obviously you could tell that by the way Sean Payton spoke on Monday. At some point we're going to have to kick it through the uprights. Rosas is gone. Cody Parker's your new kicker, coach.
Yeah, look, he's been steady. His numbers have been good. You just go back through it relative to his consistency and his accuracy. And look, overall, it's kind of a result oriented business where you're wanting, you know, you're wanting to get to a certain percentage of made tries, you know, within a distance that you feel like you're comfortable with relative to leg strength. So he's a veteran player. He's a guy with, I think, poise. You know, I think he's tough. I think he's mentally tough. And, you know, we're looking forward to having him.
800-998-1003. If you'd like to chime into the conversation, looking for grades, because head coach Sean Payton was asked to assess the state of the team at the quarter point.
Look, you're going to hate my answer, but we're 2-2. And it is what it is. I mean, in other words, and so, you know, this is an important game for us, gives us a chance to get to 3-2. It's an NFC opponent, and it's a road game. Obviously, we have an early bye. But there are a number of things that that I've seen that, man, I'm pleased with and I like. And then there are a handful of things that you're looking at and wanting to see improvement from.
All right, one final thing, then we'll go to Jack online here. Can you tell what kind of team you have?
There's so many things right now that we're in a hurry, in a race with a sense of urgency to improve. And we're in the midst of doing that. We're 2-2. We've overall handled the turnover takeaway fairly well. There's numbers that we have to be better at. Our third down and red zone numbers are solid. Our overall explosives aren't where we want them offensively, defensively. Last week, all of a sudden, there's a series of chunk plays and your passing statistics go. And so it's understanding how to win each game. But I think that, no, I wouldn't say at week four, I'm kind of seeing our team that the way I see it. I see a lot of players coming back at some point and slowly being integrated back into the lineup. In the meantime, the guys that are currently playing, we're counting on to do well and play well.
Jack, thank you for giving us a call. Lee on the On Deck Circle. What's up, Jack? How are you?
Hey, Gus. Look, I've heard some of the grades that people are giving, and I just think people are being a little unrealistic about what, you know, because you said it going into the season. There's a lot of holes, and if things go right, you know, maybe this could be a playoff team, but then it could be a six-win team. You just don't know. And all the money, you know, a lot of the money that they had to cut off the salary cap, they provided depth. And you can see it in the offensive line, you know, without the key players, they don't have the offensive line to make up for those guys. You know, they don't have the backups to make up for the guys that they lost. Mm-hmm. And look, I don't fault – I know that Peyton's been getting criticism for keeping the reins on Jameis. But you know what, man? There's been 7 years, and his college experience at Florida State of unreigned Jameis. You know, we know what that looks like. You know, so and you kind of see it, like even in the last game that they won. You know, he has trouble, you know, containing himself. He thinks he's got to make a play every down. So I'd give the coaching staff a B. Unless Gus, do you fault the guys who got COVID from getting COVID? I mean, is it their fault? The coaching staff I'm talking about.
I mean, again, you got COVID. I don't think anybody asks to get COVID or even had it.
No, no, but, do you think maybe they didn't take the right precautions? I mean,
no,
I mean, you know what I mean?
I think, like Amy said, when she got it, I mean, she got it. Nick Underhill got it. I just think it's wherever they were staying had it, or somebody on the team had it. They went out, maybe, while they were in Dallas, a player. It's all it takes is one. The Delta variant per, you know, Carver's pediatrician, it's like 3 of 5 or something, man. I mean, it's just like one person will infect 6, whereas opposed to the other one, you know, was a lot. It wasn't as infectious. And that was infectious. But basically, Delta, you get it into a building, everyone's getting it. I mean, it's so, it you know, who knows how it got in there, but it got in there. And that was the thing. I look at it too, Jack. Losing Eric McCoy, man, I think sort of, you know, set back the growth process of this offense. Because, again, I wouldn't feel this way, and I don't think it goes this way if it's Drew Brees. Because Drew Brees did the calls.
Right.
Drew Brees did the mic check. I'm going to go to the Carolina game last year where Drew Brees basically played with a practice squad. Remember? Remember all the injuries they had? He basically had practice squad, receiver, tight end, and offensive line, and he smoked the Panthers. That guy looked incredible. So, when you switch to, okay, our center's going to be now Drew, and then he goes out 5 snaps into the season, I just think it threw everything off, man. And then the second most vocal guy was Teron Armstead. He's gone. I just think it affects it, I think, more than people feel. And yes, I mean, again, the guys you're asking to be receivers are not starting receivers. I mean, they're just not the top tier. They're just not, you know? I mean, that's what it is.
And look, Gus, so I would give the coaching staff, I mean, I'm not saying they should be faulted for getting COVID. But I'm saying if you don't fault them for that, then I think they've done a hell of a good job.
Yeah.
You know, I just think, you know, what happened, the game in Carolina, they weren't going to win that game without all their coaches, with all the problems that they have. Gus, I'd say one last question before I get out.
Sure.
Look, I'm in no way criticizing Curtis Johnson, not at all. But what you hear from the local media is that he's the greatest wide receiver coach in the history of our wide receiver coaches. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, they've been trying to develop a second wide receiver for about the last decade. Where is he? And you can see the guys that have been on the squad for the last couple of years. Are they ready to be starters? It certainly doesn't look like it. So is it just bad drafting? I'm not saying he's a bad coach. Not what I'm saying at all. But I look at a place like Pittsburgh. They lose Antonio Brown. They go find some more. That's not the kind of situation we have in New Orleans.
Curtis Johnson could go try to coach me up, dude. I don't have the speeder.
In 10 years, you can't find anybody. You can't find anybody else. Yeah.
Right. I'm with you, man. Thank you for the phone call, bud. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
You know, one of the things I pulled up is to bring Lee into the conversation. Lee, I'm going to have to limit you to 2 minutes so I can get to my next guest here. But, you know, something else to think about as well when Jack just brought that up, Lee. But names like Nick Easton, he was a very good guard on this team. You couldn't re-sign him. You had to let him go. Josh Hill was a run-blocking tight end that Sean Payton loved. Couldn't afford him. Jared Cook, I know everyone rips him. He had 7 touchdowns, led the team with TDs last year. And he, you saw what he did on Monday night with the Chargers. Sheldon Rankins, Malcolm Brown, Emmanuel Sanders, Drew Brees. These are key free agent losses from last year. They didn't just play, Lee. They were key members of your team. And you're 2-2 and should be 3-1. I don't know. I almost feel like I want to give the Saints a B, but you're 2-2, so I'm going to give you a C.
Yeah. And the reason I'm not giving them a grade is because of those losses. I can't give a grade when I feel like the effort is incomplete. Because right now, the team that we have now is not the team we're going to have at the end of the season. I think we can say that with certainty because of the injuries. The amount of injuries we have and all of these guys are projected to come back at some point in the season. So the whole entire team is going to look different.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny Stills may be inactive when we get back Traquan and we get back Michael Thomas. So, either he'll be inactive or just outright cut from the team. So that's why I'm not panicking. But at the same time, Gus, I felt like you. Right now, there's no reason to say it shouldn't be 3-1 right now. It's just a fact. And I'm telling you, man, you were brilliant with your analysis on the Eric McCoy minus Eric McCoy. You're like 1,000% correct on that because that loss of Eric McCoy contributed to that Carolina beatdown that we suffered through. So yeah, you're absolutely right on that front. What the Saints need to focus on this week going to the Washington football team, they need to focus on nonverbal communication, because they're going to need a lot of nonverbal communication. It's a road game coming up. So when Jameis got to do check with me stuff, they need to have hand signals or something, going on, because right now it's going to get loud. Washington FedEx Field is one of the loudest stadiums in the league, and Sunday won't be any exception because this is an important game for them as well. They're 500 as well, and Dallas is like they're running away with that division. So they have to win to try to keep pace. And so it's an important game for both teams.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Giants game was important, but the Saints need to fix some stuff. And when we get our guys back week six, week seven, and make that run, hopefully that Giants game won't hurt us if we could just go on a run. But, man, right now, it's just like, ugh, that lost Sunday, man. It still hurts. It's Wednesday now. I'm still feeling that one. Still feeling it.
Lee, I feel you, man. It's frustrating because I think that game, I hope that game doesn't determine a wild card spot. I have a sneaky feeling it may, though. Thank you, Lee. Appreciate the phone call, sir.
Yep.
All right, quick break. We'll come back. We'll try to get Ralph Marbro, bottom of the hour, Cajun Ninja. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Devastation that was left behind will be in our hearts and minds forever. But our community has the most hard-working and loyal individuals than anywhere else. We are strong. We will rebuild. We will conquer. Golden Motors is open for sales, service, and parts to assist your needs. Arriving daily is your next brand-new Chevrolet, Buick, or slightly used any maker model vehicle. Golden Motors. Price is priority. 985-325-325. 1000 or visit us 24/7 at goldenmotors.com.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
The Rouse's Markets in Golden Meadow is back open. The Rouse's family wants to thank everyone that worked so tirelessly to get the store back open to serve our community. Thank you to Rouse's Markets team members who worked at the store every day. Thank you to Rouse's Markets facilities and construction crews. Thank you to Rouse's Markets vendor partners. And thank you, our loyal customers. Rouse's Market in Golden Meadow, now open 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. every day.
Archie Manning here for Thibodeau Regional. In the Manning household, we're pretty serious about sports. And just like the team at the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodeau Regional, we're also very serious about sports safety. As the region's leader in First Comprehensive Sports Medicine Program, they've been in the game longer with certified athletic trainers, fellowship-trained sports medicine physicians, and neuro-sports-trained experts. So play hard, play to win, but play it safe with the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodeau Regional.
That man's got some stones.
Believe me, he is no wuss.
His legend lives on.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
It is not Jordan Kleber. Well, he wouldn't be old enough anyway, but the Zodiac Killer apparently has been identified. Gary F. Post, Francis Post. You saw that? He's the Zodiac Killer. He passed away in 2018. So Twitter's a buzz by that situation. Ralph Marbro apparently busy. So we'll get a hold of him at some other point. We'll continue our discussion and continue to give our grades. Sorry, Lee, I could have let you keep talking. 800-998-1003. If you'd like to chime in and give us your grades here as well, let's continue with head coach Sean Payton from this morning as he touched on and defined. He said, look, it's a race to get better. And he defined exactly what the race to get better is.
We're talking about the technique of breaking down and tackling, the bump and run technique, receivers working on getting off releases, all the things that, you know, that really when you have a short training camp with very limited pads, you know, that there's just a lot of the fundamentals that that I'm referencing.
That's not coincidence, right? You heard him. Tackling, getting off releases. Look, there's a lot of fundamental thing. I think if you're a Saints fan, those who bring in Ralph Marbro, happy hour podcast, sir. Good afternoon to you. You got to be happy, I think, if you're a Saints fan through basically a quarter of the season. These things sound correctable. These things sound fixable, and you don't have your full complement or roster of players. So what grade are you giving? It's our question of the day, Ralph, on the Saints through four games this season.
I give them like a B minus. I mean, the thing is Sunday, the more I thought about it, Gus, and I wrote about it in my WWL column, I said it was like a piano falling on us out of the sky, right? It was a complete random system failure. Like, think of everything that had to go wrong for the Saints for them to lose. Because all the things we complained about, Sean Payton, the trying the 58-yard field goal, the Taysom Hill interception after the penalty, the touchdown that Jameis got called, like, all those things we hated. Like, that all happened before it was 21-10 and they had the ball up 21-10 with 7 minutes to go, right? So it was like a complete system failure. It was like a unicorn of failure. Like the Giants had to hit the big play, and all these things had to go wrong. So I think they've been doing fine. The thing is, though, Gus, that's so frustrating about Sunday is they're going to be anywhere from a 7 to a 10-win team, and you just can't give away games when you're up 21-10. Like, that cannot happen. And look, over Sean Payton's time here, it's only like the second time, I think, that they've blown a 10-point lead with under 9 minutes to go. So it doesn't happen that often. But it's just so frustrating because they were so close to having a nice, tidy 3-1 first quarter of the year, and then you're feeling good. You're like, we're going to Washington, we get a week off, and we go to Seattle. Like you feel like a lot's ahead of you. Now it's a big struggle, but all their issues are correctable. Like there's nothing on this team, even at quarterback, that you're like, Michael Thomas would fix that. Oh, Adebo, he got turned to ash Sunday. He was terrible. Oh, we'll just play Roby. Like there's nothing in the Saints team that you look at and you're like, that's not fixable. That's
right.
Going to sink them.
And you got to imagine, Ralph, when Davenport comes in, Quan Alexander comes in. I mean, I think Quan changes the complexity of this defense already. And look, Pete Werner showed Sunday. Mm-hmm. He's a good tackler. He's a good player. But again, you need difference makers and playmakers. That's what Quan is. And look, Davenport was starting to maybe turn the page. I don't know. Let's see how that sort of happens. I think that'll help a guy like Peyton Turner as well. I like what I've seen from Pastanau. So I'm with you. And look, Cam Jordan has zero sacks through four games. So if you go with the things should get better, Michael Thomas should come in at some point. Tre'Quan Smith where are you? We'd love to see you at some point. You know what I mean? So when you think of all of that, I mean, Kenny Stills literally was watching the first 2 weeks. The last 2 weeks, he should have 2 touchdowns. So there definitely need. There's a need at that position, though, for sure, you know?
And it is. And the thing with wide receiver is Kenny Stills is the second-best wide receiver on the team right now, probably. And you could make an argument he's number one. And the most consistent guy is Deontay Harris. Like, he's the guy that is kind of making it go on offense, right? They hit him with the bubble screens. And now that Jameis has got the arm, teams used to be like, you're not going to throw deep on us. We don't have to respect you. But then all of a sudden, boom, they hit Kenny Stills over the top, right? They got it called back. The Callaway one didn't. You know, and the thing is, the pass rush was a struggle on Sunday. But really, the Saints made a decision going into that game, Gus. They were like, look, Daniel Jones is an electric running quarterback. I know we don't think of him that way, but he kind of is, and he's probably the second-best running quarterback, maybe to Lamar Jackson. Like, he can break off. You break contain with him, he'll go 40 yards. So the Saints basically decided, look, he doesn't have two receivers. His offensive line is kind of terrible. We're just going to mush rush him. We're not going to let him beat us with his legs. We're going to make him beat us throwing the football. And it's a solid plan, right, going into the game. You don't expect Daniel Jones to light you on fire for 400 yards. So I do think even the pass rush, which we were worried about after Sunday, like I think they just made a bet, and Daniel Jones made him pay for it, and the other teams get paid too. I still think, Gus, and I know I've said it, I still think the magic key to this defense that can make it elite and just an absolute terror is Marcus Davenport. Like, if he would play up to his potential and get blessed with good health, this defense would be an absolute terror for teams. And that's, to me, even more so than Quan Alexander, what you mentioned, even more so than him, I think Davenport. Like, he's a Zelda. What is the guy? He had, like, the sword. I forget. Like, that Marcus Davenport, he's the magic formula. He's the final piece.
Final thing for you. If you have to give grades overall on offense, defense, like you were just saying, you kind of said B- on that. I said C because of average team, but quite honestly, if they take care and you don't have the collapse like you had on Sunday, they're 3-1, Ralph, looking to go 4-1. I do think this game possesses some challenges, though. I'm shocked and surprised by the amount of yardage Washington gives up total, but that D-line scares the ever-living you-know-what out of me this week. And a guy like Tyler Heinicke is almost one of those guys where he's so, I wouldn't say bad, it's just you don't know what he's going to do. You'll just take a normal drop back and spin three ways, and maybe it's a busted play, but start left, go right, and then fling it 40 yards. You know, that kind of makes me unnervous, you know, when you don't get sacks on Daniel Jones, for crying out loud. So what do you see Sunday?
Well, the thing is, you got to remember about offensive lines, man. You'll have an offensive line at home, and you'll be like, we were down two guys, and it worked out okay, didn't it? But then you go on the road, and you're like, crowd noise, get false starts, you got second and two, you're back to second and seven. Like, offensive lines, they struggle way more on the road, so that's a concern. Like, Washington's defense, I think it's not good. And remember, they brought in Jack Del Rio, who's Rivera's best friend, and everybody thought their defense is, it's so good, it's so good. But, Gus, like, even last year, you know, everybody said, they played Tampa so tough. But Philadelphia basically threw up the white flag in the final game. If they hadn't have done that, like, Jalen Hurts was even moving the ball against them. I don't think their defense is that it should be good, but it's not. Now, maybe they're looking at the Saints like a get-right game, I don't know. But if you can block them, if the Saints can figure out a way to block that front, you can do business against that secondary. I mean, Matt Ryan, he looked cooked the first couple weeks, and he was lighting them up.
Yeah,
he was lighting them up last week. So I just think Washington's one of those teams, man, that they're not as good as people think. The key for the Saints, Gus, is Sean Payton. I want him. I think Jameis has earned by his last couple starts. Throw the ball more on first and second down. Like, you don't need to prove to teams that you can run the ball.
Okay.
You expect the Saints to run the ball, man. Let Jameis do play action. Let it open it up just a little bit more. And also, Gus, you probably noticed Sunday, those carries that Kamara got, those are hard carries. Like, it's not the, hey, Kamara ran 8 yards and ran out of bounds. He was getting rocked on some of the carries. Like, let's give Kamara 25 carries and 18 of them are between the tackles. Like, that isn't going to go. Like, that is not sustainable. And they need to figure out a way to lighten his touches. And it's not just about the amount. It's about the having him get 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 touches where he's getting rocked because it's between the tackles. Like, that isn't – it's just not a sustainable business model if you want to get, like, a kitschy 2021 term.
Right.
So they've got to figure something out there, but they're injured at running back. So I know the temptation for Sean Payton is they'll be in the game late, and it'll be against Washington. It'll be like, I know I shouldn't give Kamara 29 touches, but this game is tied at 17, and it's 2 minutes to go. We're going to give him 6 touches on this final drive to get us over the hump. Like, that's a real temptation, but they've got to figure it out because he's not going to be able to take that sort of pounding.
Ralph Marlborough, give him a follow at Saints Forecast, and of course the Happy Hour podcast, Saints Happy Hour at Saints Happy Hour is the way to do so as well. Appreciate it as always, man. We'll chat again next Wednesday, hopefully after a win.
Hopefully, Gus. My liver can't take much more of this food.
I agree.
Gagging up 10-point lead.
Yeah. That really stings. It still burns, sir. Quick break. We come back to Shia. I'm going to go to you, and it will bring in the Cajun Ninjas, the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
And I wonder what you're doing tonight. I'll burn the house down, and I'll leave it behind. I didn't need the money, but the money was.
Gentlemen, now you can find the best brands and fits for you without even trying. Just follow these easy instructions. Step 1. Shop a personalized store that does all the work for you by customizing a selection for your taste and body. Step 2. Level up your closet with the best brands and fits with little to no effort. Not trying has never looked so good. Introducing Stitch Fix Freestyle, your personalized store. We're so you.
Progressive Motorcycle presents Road Wisdom from the Motor.
Half man, half motorcycle.
You grab life with both hands. And you grab your bike with both hands. Therefore, bike is life.
Figuratively speaking.
Progressive Motorcycle also presents Roadside Assistance. Progressive Motorcycle for those who were born to ride.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Dear VetTix, it was nice to spend the night with my daughter and other veterans. It's so humbling to attend an event when you feel appreciated.
I had a wonderful time with my family. Thank you for the memories, VetTix.
Dear VetTix, thank you for a great experience and for your support of the military and veterans.
Thank you so much, VetTix. Our family has gone through a lot the last few years, and this gave us a nice break.
Every empty seat at a concert, game, or special event is a missed opportunity to say thank you to a veteran or a service member. By giving your extra tickets to VetTix, you'll help America's heroes reduce stress, strengthen family bonds, and create a truly happy memory that will last a lifetime. So when you really want to say thank you for your service, give the experience, give the memory. VetTix. Give something to those who gave. For more information on how you can make a difference, go to vettix.org.
It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Cajun Ninja on the on-deck circle. We'll check in with him and some deliciousness, no doubt. The Shia, thanks for holding on, sir. It is the Shia, right? Did I remember that correctly?
Yeah, that's it. Gosh, you got it right, man.
Cool, bud.
Yeah, look, I hope you remember me. I called you early in the week, right before Marlon came on. And, you know, look, he was giving me my props, telling me I was spot on, and I didn't get to address the defense, and that's kind of what I wanted to do. But first, let me give you my grade, because that's what you're asking about.
Yep.
Really, in my eyes, I look at this as being, in these first four games, one of Sean Payton's poorest coaching quarters of a season that I've seen since Payton's come here, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Look, when have you seen a Saints team really go into a divisional opponent, meaning Carolina, and just not be ready for the game? I mean, when you talk about communication, and I get the injury with McCoy and all of that, but when you're talking about communication, that shouldn't be an issue, especially going against a divisional opponent. And then to come with Sunday against the Giants, and you know what I said Monday about that, but just a little bit on the defense, where is Roby? What is going on with Roby?
They've decided to keep going with, you know, Adebo.
And do you think Adebo was a little exposed this week?
Well, it's kind of one of those things. Here's the thing with Adebo. I do like him. And I think what you're seeing is, well, that guy's Marshawn Lattimore, so I'm going to see if the rookie's going to make a mistake or so. And that's just where the passes kept going. You can look at it as, say, they're targeting him, they're picking on him, in terms that they're just throwing in his direction. But if those are the only passes that are going there, think of this, though. I want to say not all of the big plays, maybe just one, if I can think of. I know there was a busted coverage where he ran into CD Deuce, but look, that's what that route is. That route is to try to get both corners to run into each other, and that was the one in overtime. Your veteran safeties and your veteran cornerback, Lattimore, gave up the big pass plays. It wasn't a demo. So, go ahead.
Let me touch on one other thing, though. We keep saying, and you've said it a number of times, that you've got to get better. They're going to get better once these injured people come back and this and that and the other. But most of the people you're talking about is on the defensive side of the ball. Everybody that you're talking about, Onyemata, Quan Alexander, and there's got to be a few others I'm not thinking of, but most of these other ones on the other side of the ball are on the defensive side of the ball, right? On the offensive side, you're looking for basically a Mike Thomas to come in, pull the number one cornerback, and then you're going to have the number two and three corners on Deontay Harris and Callaway, but they've yet to prove they can even get free from any cornerback. Right, so you're looking at Mike Thomas on a playmaking side, as he's going to be the savior of the offense to start moving the ball more. But I don't think that's going to happen. But I may be wrong. You know, Mike Thomas hasn't played with us since, what, late last year, right?
Right, yeah.
So we can't expect him to come in game one, two, or three and just start lighting it up. I mean,
look,
that's just me.
No, I hear you. And it's going to be, look, when everybody does come back, then it got to get in shape and acclimated. So, again, I said Buffalo, man. I said Buffalo at the start of the season. That is Thursday night, Thanksgiving, November 25th. Thank you, the Shy. I appreciate the phone call, sir. Go ahead.
All right, bye-bye.
Go ahead. All right, let's bring in the Cajun Ninja now, sir. Got to get that music in, you know?
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
Yeah, he is the Cajun Ninja. We like to chat with him on Wednesdays here in the Sports Hangover. He's been very busy, though, helping out the community. And, sir, good afternoon to you. Benon, how are you?
Gus, man, people are passionate about their football.
They are. No, paying attention to there as well. I'm with you, Alabama and Georgia and everybody else, sir. Collision course for sure. But look, man, I want to touch on this and we'll get some football chatter with you and then the deliciousness that I saw you last post on your videos. But I know the Jambalaya girl. She went to Southern Miss, so it's been awesome to see her take an idea to really to where she's at now. And when we graduated from 1998, dude, back in the day. And it was so awesome to see that you partnered up with her, man. You guys were helping out the community there at Arouses.
Yeah, man, it was really great that she was willing to jump in and do that, you know. And real thankful for Rouses for stepping up as well. You know, I just kind of approached them with the idea of, hey, let's do this. Let's get together and do some more of these little feedings as much as we can. There are many people already out there helping, but, you know, for the rest of us that can contribute, we want to. And Jambalaya Girl was like, yeah, I'll do it. So it was great, man.
How many people came up to you and pie-eyed you?
A good bit.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It seems to be a reoccurring theme when people see me. Either it's the Cajun Ninja Paya or it's hey, it's the Paya guy.
Yeah, you're one of them. You know, it's all one and the same though. Sure. So that also is good. Look, man, let's touch on something that I kind of had to make quickly, and unfortunately, sometimes it's out of a can. But if I can, I do prefer to do chicken noodle soup from scratch, homemade. I'm like you, sir. It's a Spanish way sort of as well with my mom, dude. Anytime you sneeze or sniffle or something is wrong, she will make a vat of it. My kid had some sort of 24-hour stomach bug this weekend, so we had to literally grab some chicken breasts. See, I boil them and then do that. You sauteed them, and I love how you did that, man, with the onions and all that stuff. You had a unique take to your, I mean, chunky chicken noodle soup.
Yes, sir. You know, what I like to do is to take the chicken stock, the store-bought chicken stock, which is made with the 100% natural ingredients. If you look at the ingredients on the box, it's all things you can pronounce, you know. And then, you know, from there, while I let the chopped up carrots, celery, parsley, green onion all like cook down in that for about an hour. On the side, I'm searing up the chicken with some good seasoning. You know, one I know that you might have heard of, good paya. But, you know, like I always say, anybody's favorite, go ahead and use that. Season it up, sear it up, and then from there, put the onion in with the drippings and cook them onions down real soft, and you'll get them good natural sweetnesses from the onion.
I've done this a few times, and it's almost been by accident sometimes, but I saw that it was a purposeful step that you did. When the seasoning kind of sticks to the pan there a little bit, I saw you grab some of that stock, poured it on there, and when it bubbled up, you scraped it off with the spoon. And all that's goodness and deliciousness. You don't want to leave it on the pan, right?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Yeah, I can't tell you how many people are out there trying to cook, and the bottom starts to stick like that, and they just don't know what to do. And then they try to maybe lower the heat, keep cooking, and it's just going to keep sticking because the thing is water is evaporating. That's why it cannot break up anymore. So what they do is they end up burning it, and then they say, you know what, I suck at cooking. And that's not the case. You could add just a little bit of cold water, help break it up, and then it'll evaporate again, and you just keep doing that. And then at the very end there, when I know I'm ready to add it all together, that's when I take some of the stock to break it up, so that way it's not water.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, one of the things, too, I saw you cubed it and things of that nature. And I over noodle sometimes. I'm a noodle guy. I'll get like the thin spaghetti, and then I'll get some thick spaghetti. I do like the kind of like the egg noodle sort of style there as well. I love a chunky sort of spoonful of noodle to go with the soup and everything. What do you have a preference of the noodle that you use, or do you kind of like more broth and soup and substance than the noodle?
Yeah, I like a good balance, man. I like noodles as well, but I've done the same thing. I've kind of over-noodled, and what happens is the noodles suck up most of the broth.
Suck up all the juice, exactly right, yep.
Yeah, you just kind of end up with chicken noodle pasta, you know, yeah. Not really yes. Soup. You know? So I've actually got that amount I use. I use 6 ounces of noodles to my recipe there, and that's actually came down to science, like of trial and error. You know, and I kept narrowing it down, so I had the right balance of broth and noodle.
Yeah, man. Like I said, it's not something you normally would think of to put it that way. But yeah, sometimes I over noodle it, and it is. You're right. It's just wet pasta essentially. I call it soup, and it is what it is. But look, I love that kind of stuff. And again, it does. I don't know. What the properties in it or the magic in it? It makes you feel better when you're not feeling better. Chicken soup, dude, it just really does.
Yeah, I tell you, especially doing it that way, where you're really using all the fresh ingredients and it's not coming straight out of a can. I think many of us grew up having to eat that chicken noodle soup out of a can when we were sick. Mama handed it to us, and we just thought, okay, this is what's going to make us feel better, but it really didn't, because it just did not taste as good. Mm-hmm. So. You know, doing it this way, you're getting a lot of just fresh vegetables, vitamins, minerals, and, you know, a great flavor.
All right, sir, let's quickly touch on a couple of quick things. We'll let you go on your busy day. First and foremost, are you guys going to get together anytime soon, next week or so, or at least before next Wednesday, we can chat anything you're doing in the community, giving out some food or anything that we want to touch on?
Well, this weekend, I'm actually taking part in an event in Abbeville, which is this veterinarian clinic doing something, I think, for a lot of animals that are being rescued. So I got that going on. I know I will begin with Routes again. We just haven't decided on a location, but if everybody wants to stay in tune with my page, they'll see where we're going next to help feed the community.
All right, so Abbeville, the vet clinic over there, and at some point soon you'll let us know what's the next Routes. And, of course, on Wednesdays, man, feel free when you come on, just spew away, man, what you're doing. I'd love to get that in. All right, quick take on the Tigers. Go.
Man, you know what, Gus? I was left with the feeling of we were the better team. You know, we just didn't pull it off. But you know what, too, man? When you got a guy like Bo Nix scrambling like that, you know, miracles are going to happen. And I think that was just what happened. It wasn't so much that we weren't the better team. We just didn't have the better athletes.
How about this weekend, High Noon, Thibodeau, Riverbell Classic, Southeastern, Nichols?
Yeah, that's a fun one for me, man. My brother-in-law, he played for Southeastern. So, you know, it's one of those, like, you get the whole year of bragging rights. So, yeah, I'm really pumped, you know, and I hope the Colonels can pull it off. Because you know what it's like to have them bragging rights against a good buddy or a brother-in-law.
No doubt about it, especially when stuck in the middle is your wife. And then, of course, your New Orleans Saints. Goodness, it was almost like a hold my beer to the LSU game.
Oh, man. I don't even know what to think anymore. Gus, I feel like this is kind of becoming the Saints of old, you know, where it's like, which team is going to show up this week, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the first game, they were looking like world beaters. And then the next game, they couldn't do much. Now, look, I know that we were missing some coaches and missing some players, so you got to factor that in. So that's why going into, like, you know, this game here against the Giants, you know, you really thought, okay, let's look like the team who should be, you know, 3-1 or what have you. But they let the thing slip.
Cajun Ninja, as always, appreciate the time, and we'll speak again next Wednesday, hopefully after a couple of wins everywhere else, huh?
You got it, man. I'm looking forward to getting back on that victory team again.
Yeah, for sure, man. Thanks for all you do, man. It always fun talking to you. Tell everybody adios.
Faith over fear, ladies and gentlemen. Pa-ya!
There he is. Final segment of the Sports Hangover coming up next on ESPN New Orleans.
When you leave them, just don't let me down.
to serve our community. With a fresh, new inventory arriving daily
and over 150 quality pre-owned vehicles.
If you have any questions regarding vehicle replacement or you're looking to purchase a new vehicle, we are here to help. Stop by 220 South Hollywood Road or give us a call at 985-876-7210 or visit GregLeBlancToyota.com.
GregLeBlancToyota.com.
We are home strong.
It's time to have fun, so come on in. Come on in and win. It's magic.
Cash Magic.
Come and feel the magic.
Cash Magic.
Where winners play every night and day. Cash Magic.
Video poker players know there's a difference at Cash Magic, a big difference. At your local Cash Magic casino, you'll have fun playing the newest games while enjoying our fast and friendly VIP service.
Cash Magic is my lucky place. They really do make you feel like a VIP.
It's time to have fun, so let us make you feel right at home with our fast and friendly VIP service. Come feel the magic today at one of our 9 Cash Magic casinos in Southeast Louisiana, including our 2 newest locations, Cash Magic Galliano and the Royal Flush in Houma. Louisiana's favorite place to play video poker. Cash Magic.
You'll always be a VIP. Cash Magic.
Must be 21 or older. Valid ID required. Gambling problem? 877-770-STOP.
Time is money. Don't waste both running around looking for filters, batteries, and belt sand related items. Fleet Supply Warehouse delivers. Fleet Supply offers daily scheduled delivery, including Bayou Lafourche, New Orleans, Morgan City, New Iberia, Lafayette, Thibodaux, Baton Rouge, the North Shore, plus the River Parishes too. Automotive, lawn equipment, agricultural, marine, or industrial. Fleet Supply Warehouse, 985-868-0430. Venture Boulevard, Houma.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
The man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Jonas Valančiūnas, newest big of your New Orleans Pelicans this morning at shoot-around.
Yeah, I'm good.
There's the answer. Are you going to play tonight, in case you missed it? He said, yeah, I'm good. Did it get comfy shooting the long? Everyone's shooting threes now?
You know, the league is changing. All the big guys trying to shoot more threes now. It's all about, you know, converting twos to threes. So, yeah, you got to be able to. You got to be able to adjust to the league. And, you know, it's more presence like that. You know, I'm never going to go away from my inside game. You know, post moves and then battling down low, but adding some threes, you know, especially with Zion on the court, it's going to be huge.
Yes. At some point, we will see Zion on the court. At least we hope so. We're not going to see Brandon Ingram tonight. Bump knees on Monday. He went through shoot around this morning out of precaution. They're holding him out. But again, he went through shoot around when the graph was on earlier in the 12 o'clock hour. He's like, what I saw, I thought he was going to play. So I wouldn't be concerned about it from that aspect of it. He did touch on a player, though, that I think Pels fans, if you're going to the Smoothie King Center today, or you're putting it on TV, it is on Bally Sports, 7 o'clock. And, of course, you can listen to it here on the radio. But when I'm telling you, TM3, I need to see 25 minutes, 20, 25 minutes minimum. He's just that good. I love him. Brandon Ingram on the kind of impact he thinks TM3 can have.
It's impressive because the three-point line is way further than the college line to come in and be that efficient already. And training camp and in the preseason is really good. I just hope it carries over to the regular season.
I like to see the continuation of Nikhil Alexander Walker. It's looked like he's had some good time in the summer. Nashville, training camp. Nice performance on Monday. B.I. on
all. He's continuing to grow. I think as he gets freedom, you're gonna see how good he is going downhill, shooting the basketball and passing the basketball. And I think our spacing is going to help out a lot with him just being an attack and finding guys on the perimeter and him attacking and finishing.
Of course, him not being on the court, it's not going to help getting the chemistry together. It's just going to take some time. You got to get some games going. But so far on the chemistry of the group?
Well, we haven't been here long to know each other on the basketball floor a lot. But we know some of the things that guys can do, and we took away some positives from last night. But it's going to all come together as Willie integrates his offense and what he wants us to do. I think it'll be fine, especially with the guys that's on the floor that can shoot the basketball and space the floor.
And again, one of those players is Trey Murphy III. He talked about yesterday after practice getting into a rhythm.
Really just being confident, shooting the ball when I'm open, and, you know, just trusting my work. I mean, I put in a lot of work shooting the ball, and I'm just trying not to think about it whenever I let it go. And, yeah, that's about it.
So, again, I'm excited to see him play every single time he gets on the floor. Yeah, I want to see where this all goes, right? A lot of people are commenting on Willie Green's first game. I mean, he did do summer league. This is his first preseason game. Devontae Graham.
I think he did a good job. You know, we all, like I just said, we all learn each other. We're trying to figure out the play calls, who to put in different situations and stuff like that. So it just like, it's our first time being around all each other. It's his first time coaching, and but I think he did a good job.
All right, Brandon Ingram on Green.
Well, he always takes a step back and lets us make our mistakes, observing, trying to adjust to how the defense is or how the offense is working. So I'm learning. I'm learning him. He's learning us. And I think it's good so far. He just points out a lot of stuff in detail where it helps us on the basketball floor.
Is his style a little different from what you've had the past 4 years or how many years with all the different coaches you've had?
It's similar to Gentry. Playing amongst ourselves, just going out there and let us play. If he has something to say or he want to make some corrections, he gets in there, but he just let us go out there and play.
I know some of y'all are going, oh, no, not Alvin Gentry. He was an all-star under Alvin Gentry. And that'd be a bad thing for him on that. And I guess what he's saying is, if you remember, Alvin Gentry was pacing space or pacing whatever. He wanted to like, get shots up. Brandon Ingram's a player that likes the tempo. It suits him better. It suits him to just, hey, play with what you see instead of set and instead of, I guess, a game plan of this possession here, do that. The free play style, I think, suits him a little bit better, right? To add to that. So, looking forward to it tonight and see what we can have and see if they can take that next step. Again, I've never seen, Valanciunas with this Pels squad and how it goes. I really do think if you go to Smoothie King Center tonight, you're going to like to look for Herbert Jones, Trey Murphy. You're not going to miss them, right? The guy.